Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Astrology News Report, an alternate view of world events as seen through the lens of Vedic astrology, presented by yours truly, Ron Berger. Today is March 22nd, 2015. So let's take a look at the week that was and how the planets' positions in the zodiac matched up with the past week's events. Last week, we got a good demonstration of how Mercury conjunct Neptune affects world events. Last Tuesday, March 17th, the people of Israel went to the polls. Since Mercury is the planet of making rational choices, having an election when Mercury is conjunct the planet of fantasy and delusion is not a good thing. The main contest pit the right-wing Likud party of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu against a surprisingly strong challenge from the Zionist Union, a center-left political alliance led by Isaac Herzog of the Labour Party. Polls placed Herzog's bloc ahead of Likud, which sent Mr. Netanyahu into major damage control mode. Bibi needed to poach a bunch of voters from some of the minor far-right parties to assure his re-election. This he did by reversing his former stance of support for the so-called two-state solution for the never-ending Palestinian problem. The two-state solution, that is, the establishment of an independent country for the Palestinians, has been a pillar of U.S. Mideast policy for decades. By voicing his belief that there would never be an independent Palestinian state under his watch, Bibi won enough votes and maintained his grip on power. 2 days after the election, Bibi was already walking back his renunciation of the two-state solution, claiming that he didn't really want a one-state solution, but for Israelis, Palestinians, Obama, the USA, and the world, they weren't buying it. He had said what he had said, and this has thrown a monkey wrench into the whole peace negotiations process for the Israel-Palestine problem. So the question is, can you trust this guy? Well, let's take a look at his chart. So first off, Benjamin Netanyahu is Scorpio rising. This immediately raises some questions. Scorpio is a sign of power, by whatever means necessary. Certainly seems to fit in this case. The ruler of the ascendant is Mars, the planet of force, placed in Leo, the sign of kings, in the 10th house of career and public actions. Mars is together with Saturn, the planet of control. This is an ideal combination for a would-be dictator. Now, to see if he's truthful, we look at the second house of speech and Mercury, the planet of communications. No planets in his second house, but the ruler of the second house is Jupiter, which is the planet of truth and wisdom. And here Jupiter is at 0 degrees in Capricorn. A planet at 0 degrees is considered very weak. Furthermore, Capricorn is Jupiter's sign of debilitation, meaning that Jupiter operates at a disadvantage in this sign. So much for truth and wisdom. And that's because Capricorn is a sign devoted to practical ambition. In other words, Capricorn does whatever it needs to achieve its material goals. Now, going to the planet Mercury, we find it exalted in its own sign, Virgo, the sign of details and analysis. But note here that Mercury is accompanied by Neptune, the planet of idealism, illusions, and delusion, And with Ketu, the signifier of past karma, and the moon, representing the emotions. All of this packed into his 11th house of goals and ambitions. Note, too, that Mercury is in the lunar sign Hasta, the sign known for pliable morals and convincing speech, the sign of the consummate salesman. One of the downsides of holding an election while Mercury, the planet of choices, is exactly conjunct Neptune, the planet of illusions, is that the outcome is going to be not exactly what you had in mind. This election is being perceived as a victory for the Israeli far right, the militant, self-righteous, land-grabbing Israelis. This is surely a blow to any negotiations for the near future, ensuring more isolation for Israel as far as the global community is concerned. Note, too, that according to Israel's Vedic astrology chart, the country is in a Mars major period. Mars, the ruler of the fourth house of lands in the country's chart, and placed in the eighth house of chronic problems. Of course, Mars, as the planet of conflict, is not especially conducive to negotiations. Although the violence-prone Mars-Uranus conjunction was no longer exact last week, still, the energy of this malefic combination keeps manifesting, along with the usual shootings, bombings, accidents, and so on. There were several rather severe incidents. Here are just a few examples. Last Wednesday in Tunisia, gunmen stormed a popular museum situated in the capital and killed 19 tourists. Evidently, their original target was the nearby parliament buildings, but finding those too well guarded, they settled for taking out a bunch of innocent tourists. ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack. Also last Wednesday, over 5,000 anti-capitalist protesters clashed with riot police near the new headquarters of the European Central Bank, the ECB, in Frankfurt, Germany, setting fire to barricades and cars, casting a pall over the ceremonial opening of the billion-euro skyscraper. Over 300 protesters were arrested, dozens were injured. On Friday, the day of the solar eclipse, there were horrendous bombings in mosques in Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, that killed over 100 people and wounded hundreds more. Again, ISIS is claiming a credit for the attack. Yemen seems to be heading down the road to full-scale civil war. Anyway, this coming week, Mars will move away from Uranus, and hopefully we'll see some abatement of the ongoing horrors. Okay, that'll do it for this week's review of the week. You can keep up with daily astrological developments and contribute your own thoughts by following me on Twitter at Astro News Report.